This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
On July 12, 2014, City of Nanaimo officials and residents from a neighborhood in Nanaimo's Nob Hill area met for a walk through Wisteria Lane. Wisteria Lane is a back lane running from Milton Street at its south end to Finlayson Street at its north end. It's bordered by both businesses and residences in a neighborhood immediately south of Nanaimo's downtown. The walkthrough on July 12th focused on the concept of crime prevention through environmental design, something that both the city and the residents hope will help to decrease prostitution and drug use in the area.
Wisteria Lane isn't unique in the sense that a number of Nanaimo neighborhoods have faced similar challenges over the years, but Nob Hill neighborhoods have been attracting families with small children. There's an increasing desire to strengthen both the character and fabric of the area. I stopped by Wisteria Lane yesterday and I met with Norman Abbey. He lives along the lane. He's active in the current work to improve the neighborhood. And Norman took me on a brief tour, touched on a number of topics related to both accomplishments and challenges. Here's some of what Norman Abbey had to say.
So, Norman, right now we're at the entrance to Wisteria Lane. And
yes.
This is the entrance off which street are we on?
This is Milton. That's Nickel Street. And that's Victoria Road up there, and we're at the entrance to Victoria Lane. Right here on the corner, and this is a prime example of what they call a crime prevention through environmental design. There's a lot of illicit activity in this neighborhood and throughout Nanaimo that involves low-level, street-level prostitution, which is intimately associated with drugs, and drug sellers, drug buyers, drug users, needles, the whole thing. This spot right here where we're standing, the entrance to the lane, is a favorite spot for prostitutes and drug sellers because, as you can see, you're visible to your customers that are driving by on Milton, the customers that are going to the 7-Eleven, pedestrians and bicycles that are walking down the alley. This plant right here was actually a well-intentioned gesture by a neighbor from down the street, and he thought it would beautify the area to have vegetation here. From a septed point of view, however, it does the exact opposite. It's a convenient spot to stay hidden so the neighbors can't see you behind the bush. You can stash your drugs right down here. We found many needles right here, and yet you can connect with your potential, the Johns, as they're called, and so on. So this will probably be going. The crime prevention through environmental design, one of the main ideas is to open up sight lines so then the neighbors can see what's going on here, the bicycle police that patrol this, and so on. Okay.
So you're telling me this is a mix of business and residential?
Yes, it's a unique lane in that it's both commercial. We've got four businesses here, the 7-Eleven, the Money Mart, 24-hour McDonald's across the street, and there's a pawn shop. We'll get to that farther down the alley. And then the rest of them are residences. We have four businesses and 16 residences. So they all have unique fears, aspirations, and things that they can do. You see this garbage bin in front of us right here. This, we've been working with the businesses, and it's really nice. They're going to redesign this so that it is not a hiding place. You see where that gate is swinging over. There's a private space in there. Drug users are like anybody else. They just want a bit of privacy to do their illicit things. So they'll be replacing that, the 7-Eleven, with a more of a chain link enclosure so that people can't dump illegal garbage there or hide out as a place to do drugs. Transforming a lane from a problematic area to a more safe, friendly, attractive area is not an overnight process. It's an ongoing process. So some of the things we've accomplished so far, and we're looking at some of them here, this is a donation.
This is like a very heavy garbage.
Yes, container. It's a heavy-duty garbage can because keeping litter cleaned up, like you want to present an image of your area that shows that people that live here care about it, that litter goes in here instead of just tossed on the ground. This is a donation. The topsoil over there has been donated to by the landscaping company. I think it's called Easy Living Landscaping. So we've been getting donations of paint, the garbage bins, artistic talent, and so on, as part of our ongoing efforts. And you can see farther down the alley, there's Doug down there right now prepping the wall. Tanya's lined up some artists to do some beautiful murals, yeah. One on that wall, one on the wall at the other end, and so on. To get to know each other, like a lot of neighborhoods, especially in condominiums and the way things are constructed these days. These houses are about 80 years old, and most of them on Victoria Road are constructed with a front porch where people in the old days used to sit outside. You can talk to each other, the neighbors, and you can talk to people that are on the sidewalk. So it creates safety when there's people on the sidewalk and there's neighbors sitting on their front porch after dinner. It creates a nice atmosphere. You've got your privacy and separation of public from private space, but you can connect with people on the street and you can intervene if something is going wrong.
So, is this what you mean by eyes on the neighborhood or
eyes on the street is a central concept in crime prevention through environmental design. So the older style of houses are good that way. Typical modern houses, you drive your car into the carport and go up the elevator and you don't even know your next door neighbor. So we're working on that. We've shared our phone numbers with each other, everybody on the lane and so on. Well, let's carry on a bit further.
So we're behind a house. It looks like there's no one living here, but nonetheless, it looks like the grass has been cut.
Yes, that's thanks to the city, I think, leaning on the owner to clean it up. A month ago, this was tall grass here, blackberries. That stairwell down to the basement doorway was a favorite place because you couldn't see a person sitting down there. So it was a favorite place for injecting, and it was full of needles, little saline containers. Same with the tree there in the front yard. We cleaned up around there, so now you can see through. It's opening up sight lines, and, you know, this property is owned by the estate of the same owners of the pawn shop there. And they're working with us. This is a really good news story because, you know, it's not just the drug sellers and the dealers. There's some businesses that actually thrive in an area that is sort of a lower-income demographic. You've got mental and drug-addicted patients at the Balmoral and so on. So it's a sort of habitat for drug users and drug dealers. If nobody's watching, nobody cares. So by cutting the grass here, it's open now. The activity has dropped off sharply in the last 2 weeks since Colin had the grass cut and so on.
Doug, what have you been doing up here at the end of Wisteria Lane?
Painting the wall for getting it ready for a mural that's going up.
When is it happening and who's involved in it?
There's an artist group that's going to come over and do 3 or 4 different murals in the laneway. We're hoping, if the weather holds out, starting next week.
Why is it important to do this, other than, of course, it's beautification, but in terms of the overall kind of strategy for the lane and the neighborhood, why is it important?
It sends the message that people live here, they care about the neighborhood, they want it neat, tidy, safe, attractive, and for people to be using it.
Now, Okay. We're behind, it looks like, a business place.
Yeah, we're in the parking lot behind the Nickel Street pawn shop, and there's a rampway at the back that used to be open underneath the rampway. In the afternoon, it's a cool place. Again, there's no eyes on the street here. Nobody can see what you're doing. And Doug, who we just talked to, found like dozens of needles tossed under there. You can sit on there. Nobody's watching. Toss the needle afterwards. And so what Colin did was he boarded that up, that green plywood there. That's new just as of a week ago, so people can't sort of sit there and toss their needles where somebody might get...
So this is one of basically numerous changes and improvements that have been made to help make the laneway in the neighborhood safer.
That's right. And this particular end of the alley, it's got a different character because it's narrower than down by the 7-Eleven, the Money Mart. There's a lot of traffic down there. But very often what happens, we'll see drug transactions going on. They'll get their money from the Money Mart and make a deal, and then they want somewhere where nobody can see them. So the vegetation along here has been trimmed, but you see that solid board fence. One idea is to lower that so that the people living there can see what's going on behind their house. And that just sort of discourages drug addicts. They're just people, after all. They're looking for a bit of privacy because there is illegal what they're doing, and you know, it's harming the city, not just the neighbors that live here. This is an entrance. This is all gateway zoning to the downtown, and it is the gateway to downtown Nanaimo. So you know, derelict buildings, vacant lots, drug users, and so on. It really gives a black eye to the entire city.
Okay, so we're talking about the carriage house approach.
Yes, the city of Nanaimo wants to have an additional, I think, about 7,000 people in the downtown area, and we're immediately adjacent here to the downtown core of Nanaimo. So more people, more eyes on the street, the bus system will be more efficient if there's more people using it, and so on. This carriage house we're standing behind right now is a good example of what could be done on some of the others. You'll see others in the old city quarter where people are building carriage houses in the back lane. This is one right here. There's no windows on the lane here, but Doug and Tanya have arranged for some artists to create a beautiful mural on the back of that, and with wisteria plantings. See, Doug has excavated there, and we're putting in good topsoil to replace the gravel so the wisterias will grow. Topsoil donated by the Easy Living Landscaping Company, the paint donated by Rona, the garbage cans donated by precast concrete, and so on. So, and Doug is also, and I've been helping a bit too, a number of us are helping. All these blackberries along this side of the lane, we've trimmed them right back so that, you know, because this kind of, when they sort of sprawl out, it creates places where you can sort of hide and throw your needles on. Doug found tons of needles in that area. That used to be a favorite spot.
That was audio from my visit to Wisteria Lane in the Nob Hill neighborhood just south of Nanaimo's downtown. Area resident Norman Abbey showed me around, and I also met Doug and Tanya Hiltz. The three are spearheading efforts to use crime prevention through environmental design to decrease prostitution and drug use in the area. We're joined in the studio by Jackie Howardson, chair of the Nob Hill Neighborhood Association, and by John Horn, City of Nanaimo social planner. Welcome to People First Radio, both of you. Jackie Howardson, tell us a bit more about Nob Hill and Wisteria Lane and how the neighborhood is facing the challenges that we heard Norman talking about.
Well, thanks for having me, and kudos to Norm and his group for taking on this big project. It was the first walkthrough, I think, was 2009. I was a part of that. Norm was a part of it. He's worked really hard to keep that lane free and safe. And I think the operative word for Nob Hill and that particular neighborhood, because it's not the whole neighborhood, it's like a micro system. The key word is safety and security for residents and homeowners. At the end of the day, we all would like to go home safely with our children. And that safety goes to everybody on the street, not just the residents. So creating a safe environment for all neighbors is crucial for a healthy, sort of sustainable community. I think that one of our big problems in Nob Hill has always been, I don't know how to say this diplomatically, but I'm going to try, absentee landlords. Nuisance properties, derelict properties. I think within the last year there's been big steps made to get rid of some of those properties or get landlords to care and to clean up those properties. I've spoken to several of the landlords. They've always responded, well, nobody else will house, and I'll put in quotes, these people, so we have to do it. But the housing they're providing is appalling. And there's a couple of houses that will be torn down in Nob Hill, and actually I belong to the Neighborhood Network, and through John Horn, we gave a list of problem properties, I think about a year ago, and the city is working, I think, hard to get rid of some of these properties, to clean them up, and to convince landlords that they are responsible for what goes on in their properties. It does drag down a neighborhood.
Are there concerns, you might say, in Nob Hill, in a wider sense, about talking about these issues in a public way like we are right now, or as newspaper articles appear and so forth?
We don't have any formal way of addressing these issues. And so if a neighbor decides he wants to say something or phone the press and do a story, they're certainly entitled to do that. I think it's always important to find a balance and to frame the story in a way that is positive, because if it becomes too negative, all the neighbors that have worked so hard, that have bought in the neighborhood, sort of feel downbeaten and downtrodden, and then they kind of, they fall off the radar and they don't have that sense of pride. And I think any community has to have that sense of pride, that sense of caring.
One thing I noticed when I was down there yesterday was, and Norman and I couldn't include all of his comments, But he pointed out there was literally a row of houses that had been well cared for, well maintained, were beautiful, absolutely beautiful homes. And this seems to be the ongoing dynamic, is that the area is being beautified and it's the homes are being cared for.
The homes are being cared for. The homes are modest, but as Norm said, there's porches, there are verandas where people need to and should sit out on their porches on Victoria Road and observe what's happening. We see a lot of urban gardening and boulevards cropping up in Nob Hill currently. We're involved in a community mapping project. There's chalk art popping up. There's many good things happening, and I think you get good things happen maybe from starting in a not-so-good place. So I see lots of positive things for the neighborhood, lots of young families moving in, and we need to ensure that the neighborhood is safe for those young families. Because if the perception is it's a terrible place full of sex trade workers and needles, who is going to move into the neighborhood? You send the word out to all the people that maybe aren't so good, well, let's come to Nob Hill because that's where it is anyway. So I think we need to be careful of the perception of this amazing old neighborhood full of history and character.
John Horn, you're the social planner for the City of Nanaimo. And the City of Nanaimo has been guided, I take it, by the crime prevention through environmental design approach. The RCMP also uses this approach and makes reference to it. I'm wondering if you could tell us more about that.
Sure. Thanks, Kevin. SEPTED, as they call it, which is crime prevention through environmental design, it's really the design, maintenance, and management of the built environment to reduce the incidence of crime and then to enhance people's perception of their own safety in those environments. And it really boils down to a couple of basic principles, which are fairly common sense. Norm touched on some of those. He made some references to passive surveillance, we call it, which is that when you feel like you're being observed by neighbors, when there's lots of clear lines of sight, it's going to inhibit your inclination to indulge in illicit activities. Not everyone's discouraged by that, but lots of people are. So that's one way of sort of reducing crime, is if you're being observed, you're less likely to engage in things like drug use and that sort of way. The second thing you touched on, we have a different term, was what we call capable guardians. So when you're at a property and you see that the people who are in that property have put up a high fence, they don't want to know what happens outside the border of their property. You get a sense that I can do what I want in the public realm in front of this person's house because they're not watching, they're not engaged, they're not involved, they don't have a stake in what happens in the sidewalk. They've walled themselves off from that. So what we say as a capable guardian is when you stand in front of a home, if it looks well kept, if the neighbor, the person who lives there obviously has an interest in the public realm, so the verge is kept clean, you go, oh, well, that person's not only are they watching and they're engaged, but they're competent and they're capable. So the likelihood is that they'll come out and say something to me if I engage in an activity. That's a very different feeling you get when you stand in front of an abandoned house that's graffiti covered with broken windows. You think, who's going to come and challenge me here? Really no one. So part of what we do in the SEPTED piece is we looked at the passive surveillance, but that capable guardian, giving that sense to people that someone cares, they're engaged, they're involved, and they will come out and perhaps challenge you on behavior that's not appropriate for the public realm.
Now, there are some larger forces at work as well. For example, the ongoing debate and legislative wrangling over prostitution. What are the limits of crime prevention through environmental design, and how does it overlap with larger issues of public policy and law enforcement? We're talking about laws that are created at the national level.
So the idea with the crime prevention through environmental design is you're really addressing, to some extent, opportunistic activities. So if someone's truly committed to a criminal lifestyle, whether there's graffiti or not, it's probably not going to deter them much from pursuing that life. So there are a certain element of criminal activity that takes place that this won't touch. What we do with this particular piece is we address some of that street-level stuff that happens, whether that's the sex trade or drug use or other different things. But it's really about people seeing an opportunity to engage in an illicit activity and being deterred from that. So when it comes to these larger pieces about legislation surrounding what's allowed, what's the law, what are the processes for prosecuting offenders, those are much bigger pieces. And SEPTED, while it plays a small role in that, that's moving into the next level of crime prevention, which is really about interdiction and prevention and treatment of offenders, etc. So the SEPTED piece is a small piece of that puzzle, but the larger piece that I would say that it really manifests is that people's perception is really a vital part of their sense of their own safety in the community. So there's the realistic potential that you're going to be mugged in Nanaimo, and there's your perception of, will I be mugged when I'm walking down the street? And they can be quite different things, but the perception is as valid as the reality. So we treat that very respectfully, and what we want to do with people is to help them feel safe in their neighborhoods. SEPTED does a lot for that, because the way the principles work, if they're fully adhered to, as you walk through that space as a complete stranger, you feel safe. And that's really the magic of SEPTED, is it's very intangible. It's the feeling of safety people get when they go through a well-designed, well-septeted neighborhood. And then it begins to change a whole bunch of other things as well. They invest in those neighborhoods. They walk through them more often. That changes the dynamic, so it feeds upon itself. But helping people feel safe is a big part of what we think SEPTED does.
Jackie Howardson and John Horn, thank you very much for taking the time to come down to the studio and join us. I expect we'll hear more on this in the coming months, especially as the murals go up and the work is done. All the best.
Norman Abbey and Doug and Tanya Hiltz live on Wisteria Lane in Nanaimo's Nob Hill neighborhood. Jackie Howardson is chair of Nob Hill Neighborhood Association, and John Horn is the City of Nanaimo's social planner. You can find both Wisteria Lane and the Nob Hill Neighborhood Association online.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with the Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.